This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato. Have another Community Waikato person in the room with me today. Anne Douglas, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. And it is marvellous to have you here because we're talking about the conference. It's been a little while since we had one. Community Waikato has a conference coming up on the 12th and the 13th of November this year. It is going to be a good one. So today we're just going to tell you all about what's going on because our registrations are going to reopen on Monday. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the theme and then we'll talk a bit about the palaver with some of the changes and then we'll just get into it all, eh? So tell me a bit about the theme. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so I think post-COVID, we're definitely feeling the stress in the sector. I think the whole world is feeling the stress of post-COVID. So the theme this year is navigating the tough times and just seeing how we can sustain our organisations, keep them motivated and positive to just get through these next few years. There's been a lot of change coming from government, which has had an impact on our organisations. So we just want to keep them together, have an ability to connect at the conference, and it's one of the only regional conferences specifically for the for-profits, for the not-for-profit sector. So I think it's really, really important for us together.
We don't have a lot, like you say, it's the only specific one for non-profits and broadly, you know, and for the Waikato region, which is just marvellous. We do them every 2 to 3 years. And I think... I think what you were just saying then about, you know, how to help our organisations be resilient, and it's not just about money, right? It's about how we keep people feeling good about what they're doing because it's very easy to become a bit demoralised when we're working in times with increased number of, you know, need in our communities and we're seeing changes in government and the way even we're being talked about as a sector.
Absolutely.
And then we're seeing changes across the philanthropic landscape and our funding landscape as global markets have really impacted even the pools of funding that we can access. So
and you know, I think what's happened, especially in that funding round, is that because there's been some government contracts have been cut for some of our organisations that perhaps provide budget advice, disability services, mental health services, that's had a huge impact on the fact that those people, those groups are now approaching philanthropic funders for money, which is putting extra pressure on them, and that's unfortunate because...
Because the pools are getting smaller, but the work is really important. So, no, absolutely. And what I love about what we've been looking at with the conference, and we are going to get to talking about who some of the speakers are, what I love about it is this idea that this isn't about trying to solve all the problems or think we can collaborate our way out of, you know, the issues, but it's really thinking about how can we reconsider what we do? How can we continue to have impact, but perhaps it means we're not doing all the things we used to do.
Absolutely. So we were really surprised. We opened registrations a few weeks ago and they just flew in. The applications came in really, really quickly for our sponsored places, but also just for basic registrations. So we had to put a pause on it last week.
Yeah, well, we were in a venue where we had to cap the numbers at
180 maximum.
Yeah. Well, that was sitting in lines. Not at all at tables even. And we were hoping to have cabaret style and we'd already exceeded the numbers for cabaret style. So we were like, actually, we need to review and we made a decision
to change venue. So really exciting. So we're moving from the venue we had to the Distinction Hotel out in Te Rapa, which we have had a number of our conferences at, and that will leave us the ability to have around 250 attend. So the registrations will reopen again next week, which is very, very exciting.
We're just waiting for some of those ones who were on a waiting list. We want to make sure that they get their spots and then we can...
We were very surprised. You know, normally our registration operations are steady and they don't shoot through the roof like they did.
Well, and a lot of people be, wait to the last minute, yeah, really, eh, to book in as well.
But we don't know whether it was because of our speakers. You know, as a fangirl of one of them, you know, I wonder whether it is. But definitely it was just so positive that people really want to gather. I think that there really is a sense that I get that people want to be with other organisations and, you know, sharing a problem together is a really
problem halved,
nice,
you know. No, I think that's absolutely the case. We are going to talk about who some of the speakers are, and some of the other, I suppose, the format sort of the conference. Our evening do and all of that. So let's start though anyway with day one.
So day one we've got Sir Ashley Bloomfield coming. He's going to be our opening speaker. Very excited, as a number of us are. So he is definitely going to open the conference for us, and he's really coming to us from that leadership view. And, you know, how you lead through tough times, how you keep your teams motivated, you know, how you deal with adversity when, you know, the decisions that you make may not always be popular, but that he was someone, especially for me, who made me feel very safe through COVID. And I know that there'll be a lot of contention. Some people will and some people won't. But I feel that he's really been a really great leader through tough times.
I would describe him as a somewhat humble and reluctant leader.
Yes.
And we get quite a bit in that our sector, right? Like, people don't tend to come to the non-profit sector to be a leader, but rather to help or to be a part of a community or a positive shift in our community. So we have a number of these people, and I think that kind of shared value, that shared way of doing leadership, I think will be really helpful for those people.
Yeah. So he will he'll open day one, and from that we are then going to have a panel of local leaders who are going to take his keynote, and then we're teasing out further some of the challenges that we face as leaders or leaders of organisations. And then from the panel, we are then going to have two local stories.
So let's go to the panel then and look at who are some of the people coming in on the panel on day one.
So day one, we've got Joe Wrigley.
So Joe Wrigley is from Go Eco. She's a strong community leader. She has been around in the sector for a very long time. Go Eco, an environmental organisation, doing amazing work and really good leadership work in the space of environment. So
people
that's
like
really cool.
Ellie from Settlement Centre. She's one of the panel.
And she's had a long background too, eh? She's led a big change as well for that organisation with the extension. Essentially, it's a whole new build, really,
isn't
it, on that settlement centre, which has opened it up to so many more activities and so many more groups. So it's been
they've definitely faced some adversity with some of their build and some of the things that went up around their building, and there was definitely a pushback from certain parts of the community.
Yeah.
But they've led and they've held strong to their values. People like Tsai Wei is coming from the Rainbow Hub, so he will be one of the panellists as well.
And Slay's had quite a different experience in terms of their story, you know. And, you know, for someone who, I suppose, represents some more of the more vulnerable communities in a couple of different ways, I think Slay can speak to how to show leadership and strength while you're navigating some of those additional challenges. I think that's really, that'll be a really interesting part of the story.
Yep, and we've got Jeremy coming from Creative Waikato, so he's going to bring a different view. And our fifth one, pass.
Yeah. It's a lot to hold in our head in one go. You know, certainly Jeremy Mayle has done an amazing job and taken Creative Waikato in a really different direction since the last manager, who also did a great job. But I think, I think there is real power in a leader coming in and really looking at what's happening in an organisation and thinking, well, how is it we really want to have impact and how might we do things differently? Yeah. And I think that Jeremy has absolutely led that change,
absolutely,
you know, beautifully through Creative Waikato. So, So we're really, really happy and proud to have such an amazing lineup of people on day one. Yeah.
And we're hoping there'll be that real flow from it, from what Ashley says, down to the panel, and then from there we have two
sector stories
of how people continue to just, you know, hold their vision and soldier on and get work done and get change made for their organisations.
So the two leaders we have on that day is Gary Thompson, who's also opening our conference, that's exciting. Some of you might, who listen to our show regularly, might have heard Gary on this show before when he was our kaiwhakariti talking about Māori development to marae development. Gary has been doing incredible work with He Ahuru Mōwai, on which Anne is a trustee.
Yes.
It's a very small sector sometimes, isn't it?
It is.
But Gary is coming to speak about his work at Kaitamata Marae.
Yeah.
And that is where he developed the framework for marae development, which has really had a massive impact right throughout the Waikato region. He wouldn't blow that trumpet, but we know that's exactly what's happened.
And that his plan is seen as a beautiful...
An exemplar.
Absolutely, that the country wants to see for marae to unpack what their development plans might look like. So, and the other person that's going to be his local story is Shannon from...
Pure New River Care. And he had a vision, you know, and has created that into this exceptional... You know, I don't even know how to describe it because there are actually lots of arms to what it is they do.
Yes.
They were about the river care, but they were about investing in their local people, building their skills and knowledge and capability. And so they hired these people to help grow a nursery so they could replant the riparian planting around the river to improve the care of the river. Yep. But it's also with a marae, and then they've got social services. So it's actually just become this amazing
massive
entity that is doing incredible work.
Yeah. So
again, a very quiet and reluctant leader, and I think Gary and Shannon are two that absolutely that's exactly who they are.
Yeah,
they are
yeah,
quite reluctant
yeah.
in that,
and
but driven by purpose.
It'll be amazing, I think.
Yeah.
So that will be our mornings. From then, the afternoons will be made up of open space or World Cafe, whatever you want to call it, which is really that opportunity where it's a much more organic afternoon. The ideas will come from the floor a lot of the time. Our colleague, will lead that. And we always find open space is very organic, and it's amazing what conversations come out of it, and actually what goes on to happen after the conference from some of those conversations. So I remember the first time we ever did open space, it wasn't a favour of mine because I just didn't understand how we were going to do something without an agenda, but it is just an amazing way of unpacking people's thoughts and ideas and being able to share it together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we find that this is what people often talk most about, because it's about networking and about just, you know, developing our relationships with each other. There are so few opportunities to just sit back and pause and be in a room and start thinking about what it is we do and how it is we do it. And so we always get great feedback about it.
Yeah, so that will bring us through till about 4:30 on day one, and then we're going to break for just drinks and nibbles this time. We're not having a conference dinner. Number one, it was about resourcing for the sector. We just didn't want to be burdening people with costs that were prohibitive to them participating. So we'll have drinks and nibbles out at the Kingsgate Bar. And people will be welcome to come. We're hoping to get some corporates involved in that, where they might like to come and network with our community organisations. That will bring day one to a close.
I'm excited about doing something that isn't just a whole lot of... I don't know how you describe it. Often at a dinner, you end up with four people immediately near you, and you don't really have a chance to engage with others. And I love this idea of this network and nibbles. Yep. You can be standing up, moving around, you know, bigger and smaller groups. And if people decide they want to go out for a meal afterwards, they can go and do that. Yeah. Or if they're tired and they just want to go home, there's no pressure.
Absolutely.
And it's exhausting, right, at a conference?
It is. We've been very lucky to secure our sponsorship for free spaces from our funders, and that has been provided by Hamilton City Council, Well Energy Trust, DV Bryant Trust, Trust Waikato, Waikato Tainui, and Sky City Community Trust.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've missed anybody, and Tyndall Foundation.
Tyndall.
So they've all given us some money to run the conference, but to also provide some free spaces or some sponsored places for those that are from smaller organisations, organisations that are a little more rural and can be hard for them to come down. And so we've been able to provide them with some accommodation if they're coming from the very edges of our region, such as Taumanui and right up to the Colville points. So we're really lucky. We have now secured all our sponsored places and they've all been advised, and the others that were unsuccessful will still be able to get the early bird price when we reopen registrations next week.
Mm. So day two.
Day two. So day two, very different again. So we've got Dave Latelli opening day two. And if we all know Dave Latelli's story, he has come from some fairly challenging parts in his life, and he has just got on and got it done, and he has faced some funding cuts himself, but he has just still been able to mobilise his communities, keep people motivated, and he will talk from that view, and from that, once again, we're going to then have a panel. And
so what his, I suppose his slant, right, yes, how he's going to be talking is around those things of, you know, how you need to sometimes pivot when things are going really, really wrong. What are some of the things you might need to do differently? And so we've got some people who are coming on board who are going to talk about some of that stuff. And I'm thinking there's like, is it the day we've got Tony?
Yes.
From Tony Masters.
Yes, Tony Masters from Whitianga.
And yes, and then we've got Garth, yes, from Lead.
Yes, we've got the Cake Detective. Yeah. Laura from the Cake Detective.
Oh, no, she might be the Sector Story.
She's a Sector Story, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't bring all my papers today.
No, no. We've got Laura and Linda for the Sector
That's
Story.
That's right, yes,
following.
We have two. Yep.
Yeah, so, but what we've got are speakers who are talking to those changes, how it is that organisations have reconsidered their work, potentially reconsidered their purpose, or you know, yep, pivoted to, yep, to try and ensure that they were having the impact that, yep, they needed.
Especially in uncertainty and change, and, you know, just how they adapted and stayed focused, and you know, how you keep your heart when things don't go to plan, and what keeps people with their eye on the ball and staying close to their values, but still staying motivated. So then the two local stories will be from Laura at the Cake Detective and
Linda Royal.
That's right.
Yes. So and again, you know, we tried to get those sector stories to A, have their own quite unique stories, but you'll also see quite a number of connections between those stories, yeah, as well. And yeah, I think that there's some real value in,
yeah,
yeah, exploring, yeah, that. Yeah. So, and then we've got an afternoon again of open space.
Yeah, yep, more open space, and lots of creative ideas will be coming through from the Creative Waikato team. They're
yes,
going to work with us on that. So
this is an addition. So this is something we haven't done before, is collaborate a bit with another organisation. But we've worked a lot with Creative Waikato over the last few years, really since COVID.
Yep.
And we thought this is a great opportunity to really interweave some of the work we do. And Creative Waikato have got some marvellous ideas, yeah, about how to do that and just bring a bit of the, some joy,
yes,
you know, to what we're doing. And I think at a conference it's really important to have moments to stop.
We recently identified that Neil, who is our MC, Neil Tollin from Western Community Centre, and Jeremy were part of the Funky Monkeys years and years ago.
Yeah.
So we're hoping they might do a number for us. No, jokes.
Yeah, well, we might be able to convince them, eh? So Neil Tollin, for those who attended our last conference, will have seen him as our MC.
Yeah.
Did such a marvellous, yeah, job that we just felt we needed to bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He brings joy.
He really does.
He does.
And then once we'd engaged with Jeremy and found out they had such a wonderful history, we thought, well, this is going to work,
yeah,
well together.
It will. It'll be great.
It's going to be a fun conference,
yeah,
right?
And we're leaving the day with our final speaker, who is Cam Colkin, and he is a young guy who has spina bifida,
cerebral palsy,
but he is apparently very inspiring, and he
He's a comedian as well. Yeah, and I think that's marvellous. A motivational speaker, a comedian, and somebody as well who has been a leader in his community.
And has faced huge challenges, but just, you know, got on and got it done. And we're really hoping that he will be really uplifting and have people leaving the conference with a feeling of joy and hope and be inspired and motivated and...
We had a marvelous speaker at our last conference. What was her name? She is with the
Sasha COVID. The coffee culture. Yes. That's right. She was fun.
She was really fun, and it really struck me that there many conferences you go to don't finish quite on the high that they should. And I think that she was marvelous how she did that. Everyone walked away feeling very uplifted.
Yeah.
And so we really wanted to repeat that experience, but with someone quite different, and feel like we've found an absolutely brilliant speaker for the last session. The other thing too is, I'm sure anyone who's been to a conference knows, keeping people to stick around to that last session can sometimes be challenging, and we really want the opportunity, you know, for people to get the most out of this event. So we want to make sure that every session is packed with stuff that someone will, so, you know, people will go, actually, that was great.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah.
And I think finishing on that session, he will absolutely bring that vibe as well.
So I encourage you to go to the Community Waikato website this week if you are motivated to come along and get the early bird price, which for not-for-profit groups is $330.
So when does that go to, that early bird price?
Only until the end of the month, and then it will go, it will jump up to the standard rate. So we really encourage you to get in. Our numbers are, you know, we're filling fast, so I do encourage you to get in. And get registered and come along, because I'm sure you'll be very inspired by the few days, and it's always very exciting.
It is. I have absolutely no doubt. If someone's listening and they're not from a non-profit organisation, do we have a corporate rate?
We do have a corporate rate. So if you go on our website, you'll see them listed there. It's not extremely more.
Yeah.
I think it might be another $100.
Yeah.
So do get in contact with us if you've got any questions. And
because I think that the theme of this conference is just as relevant for people from the business sector as well, and certainly from local government, from, you know, from all of those sort of places. We're all facing tough times.
So come along, you'll love it.
If you don't want to come along to the conference, but you would like the opportunity to network, we do have the Network and Nibbles event, which is open as an event on its own as well. And so if you are listening, you think, you know what, I'd love an opportunity to engage with, you know, 250 people and be able to talk about, I don't know, my...
accountancy firm or
my screen printing business or
whatever it is,
you can sign up. And how much will it cost someone?
$25.
So that's not much at all.
Yep.
$25 to come along at around 4:30, 5-ish on.
Right, 5 o'clock. I think we're doing 5 till 6:30, and I'm sure it'll go longer, but you know, that's the time frame we've got.
For those of us who stick around, Anne.
The stayers of us.
The stayers. Yeah. So no, it would be marvellous. We do want other people to come along to that networking session. We think there's a lot of value in having greater diversity in the room, and it's kind of rare sometimes we talk about diversity as the businesses, but that's diversity for us. That's not who we are generally, and we would love to see more of these people come along and engage and talk about what it is you can do and meet some of us as well. And so it's going to be pretty cool.
It is going to be very cool.
So just to go back to those key dates again, you've got the 12th and the 13th of November at Distinction Hotel. If you try and jump on and have a look today, you'll see it's all closed. You can't actually register. You won't be able to until Monday at 4 p.m.
That's right.
It will be reopened, and then you really want to get in quick, because numbers are still capped and we're already edging close to 200, right? So,
So get in there, and if you've got any questions, just flick us an email and we'll get back to you on those.
And if you want to know our website, it is communitywaikato.org.nz, so nice and easy.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So essentially, that's the conference. We've got a couple more minutes. So in the 3 minutes left, Anne, just want to ask you a little bit about new program you've been running, which is around people's budgets and using budgets to monitor the health of your organisation.
Yeah, we're finding a lot of organisations, boards, committees, whatever we want to call them, they're considering in their reporting, they're receiving things like a profit and loss, okay? So that really doesn't give a board anything to monitor. So what we're really trying to encourage people to do is have their budget variance as one of their key reports, because you've got something to monitor. If you don't have a budget, you don't know what you're monitoring. Money in and money out doesn't tell you anything as a board. So we're available to help you do that. So getting your budget into whatever your software is, could be Xero, could be MYOB, whatever you choose to use. And that, you know, that budget variance alongside your balance sheet are the two key reports that are really important to allow boards to be informed or committees to be informed and be able to have a mechanism to measure where they are at.
So, Anne, if you're a really small entity, and let's say you don't actually have any of those, can you do this just with an Excel spreadsheet? And, and how would you can you measure your variance that way?
Well, you can. I mean,
harder?
The thing with Excel is, you know, that is a manual. You would have to be manually putting figures in. It is a way you can do it. The only thing with Excel is not something, it can be overwritten. So there's nothing, there's no audit trail within it. There's no ability to stop changes being made. And for you to keep your organisation safe, I encourage you to look at some of the software that is out there. They all have different prices, but you can get some very simple reporting software to use that will then make the job a lot easier for the person doing the numbers, but also gives you, as a committee, a way to keep your organisation safe, make sure that you are solvent, make sure that you are asking the right questions and that you are aware whether your money's come in and your money's going out in the right places. Because if you don't have that, really, you're operating a little bit blind. And, you know, the most important thing is, as a board or a committee, you are jointly and severally all responsible and you can't just leave it to your treasurer.
That's really good advice. We do run workshops on this from time to time. So, again, if you're interested in any of this kind of stuff, any of the stuff we do at Community Waikato, look us up. Look up on our brand new spanking website. Look up workshops and you'll find out when we're offering these. A lot of them online, some of them in person, always affordable.
And just reminding anybody that's listening that the Funding Expo, the Waikato Funding Expo, is running down at the Hamilton Gardens on the 5th of November from 9 till 3 o'clock.
And that is all we've got time for. So thank you. And you have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato, Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.